play?
Yeah.
All right, bet.
Y'all look good in the camera?
This guy, bro.
Do we?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look straight. You look straight. You look straight.
Just to make sure.
You didn't say fuck no?
Huh? That'd have been crazy. That looks short, though.
Wait, put your seat just down.
So, nah, you put yours up.
I'm on the highest for
you. Oh, you're on the highest? Oh, shit.
Ceiling?
No.
I'm on the highest right, bro. You gotta go down, bro.
Alright, we good?
Yeah.
We good? Alright. So, if we're being, like, superficial, this is, like, looking at social media following. This is your choice as, like, biggest guess, you know what I'm saying? So, free shit, you know, free clout, taking advantage of the motion. You know what I'm saying? But nah, jokes aside. You guys are like, what? But nah, jokes aside, first off, before we get into anything, you know, big congratulations. Day 5 hit a million streams last week. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, numbers speak for themselves, but I always give you guys like a little hype me up intro. I got Sean pulling up last minute, so I don't got the intro for you, so you're going to have to sell yourself, you know what I'm saying?
He's
going to have to sell yourself, but, you know, first off, Tosin, otherwise known as Jay Keys, University of Maryland, studying architecture and music. I was talking about falling across all platforms. He's been able to amass over 80,000 through a variety of different things. Producer, pianist, content creator. I'm going to add comedian on there, too, you know what I'm saying? You know, the creator of the beat that you hear in all the intros for your choice. And I first heard him on IO's joints, like every time I was like, hey Jay, what key you in? Like now he's in your choice. Mm. Tosin, how you doing, bro?
Hey man, I'm glad to be here.
Yes,
thanks
sir.
For having me.
Yes, sir. And then, other third of the episode, given the, you know, change in scenery, Kang's in the building, also at UMD. What you studying actually, by the way?
Studying economics.
Economics. Studying economics. Talking about numbers, over 45,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. One of the most versatile recording artists in the hip-hop and pop music game. Got started by joining a rock band program in middle school. Now he's got his own band of 242. The song that I relate to the most is Stretch These Bills.
For real?
Yeah, but I don't think you'd be doing that anymore with the trajectory you're on. You see what I'm saying?
I still know how to stretch a bill, though.
Yes, sir.
The song he relates to the most.
Yeah. But Kang, welcome to your choice.
That was good. It was good. I'm glad to be here.
Like I said, Sean, part of 242. You got to sell yourself to the people.
I'm Sean Michael. Like he said, I'm part of the same collective as Kang, 242. You might have seen it as an art attack. I'm a songwriter, artist who raps. I hate to say rapper, but artist who raps. And just kind of a little bit more versatile than that and just hang around these guys a lot. I'm on Kang's next song. We can get into that later on, but yeah.
Yes, sir. So first off, whenever I have like multiple people, you know, obviously related, same backgrounds in the same type of niche, how'd y'all meet? Obviously, you know, for all three of y'all in different ways, you know, making music together. Day 5, I know you guys produced, and then obviously you on the vocals. So what's the story behind all of your backgrounds and how'd y'all meet?
Talk about how y'all met first.
Yeah. So with Jeremiah, how did I meet Tosin?
A minute ago, I'm not gonna lie. I just used to see you in ASA.
Mm-hmm.
You used to do like the juke joints and the talent shows.
I remember that.
And I don't know. I just seen this dude just performing. Like he can sing. I'm like, he's tough. I don't know if I ever hit you up. I feel like you hit me up.
I remember. Yeah. I remember. Actually, it was the TRL thing.
Did
you make a beat for the TRL tape?
I'm gonna get to it. So the TRL tape, for those who don't know, was a collaborative album that when I was on the e-board of TRL, I executive produced it. And it was just like, TRL is Terrapin Record Label, for those who don't know.
Okay.
For the UMD's own record label club. And so the idea behind that project was just to get a bunch of student artists and producers and those interested in like the more music business sides of the industry to get together, put a piece of work, and then actually like release it on streaming platforms and stuff. So we put out like a big like call to action for all like the UMD like creators and whatnot, to producers, songwriters, artists, instrumentalists, et cetera, to make stuff. And Tosin came out. And we ended up making a couple Afro beats, or he played us a bunch of his beats, and we're like, okay, bet. And that's how the beat, I think it was All Right, right?
Yeah, All Right beat.
Yeah, the beat for All Right, that was one of his. And then we just had a bunch of other really cool artists on it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, no, it's still streaming pretty decently. Go stream the TRL tape, volume one.
It's tough.
I think another one's coming soon, but let's figure it out.
For sure. And then also, I want to involve you in there. How'd y'all meet?
I guess you probably remember the back half of it. You don't remember the front half of it. Yeah. So I met him. Wow. So I met him by accident completely. Like, I met him at a library in Germantown. But even how I met him, I was doing like summer camp counseling for like a martial arts school that I was instructing at the time. And then I had like a break, so I just went to go to sleep in a library. And like, I'm weird about people, so like, I don't really like I was taking a nap, and then there's somebody sitting across from me, and I really don't like when people be sitting across from me when I'm trying to sleep. Mm. So like, I just literally started rapping. I was probably like maybe like a couple months in, and I was looking for a producer. And there's beats playing out of like one of our friends' ears, right? At the time his name was Joel, right? Former part of 242 and whatnot. So then from there, I was like, I asked him, I was like, oh, do you produce? And he was like, yeah. He was like, do you rap? I'm like, kinda, yeah. And then basically we talked a little bit, and then I went into a room, chill with him and Kang or whatever, and then I started rapping for them, and then that's pretty much how we joined the group. From there, we just locked in.
Mm-hmm. And for people who don't know, what is 242?
242 is a collective. We do hip-hop, pop, R&B music, Afro music too. And it's just a bunch of friends who decided that, you know, we all want to do this whole music thing, but we'd rather do it together. And so, yeah, we've been dropping singles, dropping projects, dropping videos. We also drop parties. But we also do events and whatnot in the DMV area and other areas coming soon. Mm-hmm. It's basically just a good time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good time, good people, good art.
And 242 just dropped the EP like in January. So 242 mm-hmm. FM. Yeah. So, and we just did Artist Hype. We opened for Smino. We fresh off festival season. So last year we went on a run. We opened, or we performed on the same bill as, I want to say it was Jack James, Destin Conrad,
Rich the Kid,
and then Jeremiah. And then this year we did Lil Tyler, Smino. Jordan Ward, Maida, and Smino. So yeah, I've been on a run. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And I think the first time I heard about 242 was actually when you were doing Pitch Dingman last year.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, I was there. I was there. But I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, because it was a long time ago, like, the judges were not messing with the idea as much as I thought they would.
Pitch Dingman. I loved the experience.
Yeah.
It got me better at pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Way better at pitching. So the idea with Room 242, so 242 and Room 242 are technically two different things.
Okay.
Room 242 is more like the business.
Okay.
So that's the artist housing, that's the label services, that's the events, that's all through that house, Room 242. And so the pitch was about pitching the business and whatnot. And the value part, the MVP, the idea of the business, it's all fine and good, it's great. However, like, I understand that with Pitch Dingman and whatnot, they're less looking for like the more like, or just from what I've been able to pick up, it's less about the more like kind of out there ideas, because to be fair, like, the idea is risky, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's chances that it might not succeed or go like through the stereotypical path that a lot of other businesses or businesses who might have won in the past would go through.
Mm-hmm.
While the crowd may have loved it, or the general public thought it was a great idea, what matters at the end of the day is what the judges decide.
Crazy.
And so that's what, it's kind of what, you know, ended up happening.
It's crazy, man.
Much love to the Dingman team, though, and they're
solid
people.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been nice. It would have been nice, but it is what it is. We still move.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in terms of, you know, you guys' like individual journeys with music, obviously, you guys are both artists, producer, pianist, that type of side of things.
They sing also too.
Wait, JK said he can't sing, bro.
He can sing.
I don't know who told him that.
He's not saying, bro.
Yeah. I can rap.
Okay.
You can rap.
All I know how to do is make beats and play the piano. I don't know how to use my vocals other than like trying to talk to people. You know what I'm saying? Sorry.
Man, bro, you're being stupid already, bro.
I bet.
But yeah, I just wanted to know, like, you know, where did, like, the love for music stem from? And then, like, you know, just going down the line. So, like, obviously starting with you, Tosin.
How'd I get into music?
Yeah.
Basically, my dad, he's a drummer. And the church I go to is, like, African church. a lot of musicians in that church, and I think I was about, I was about 8 years old, mm-hmm. and you know, churches do anniversary every year, so my church's anniversary was doing this one big anniversary where it was OC musicians there, and I was about 8. My dad's in a choir, plays drums, and after the service, I think he just felt inspired. He was like, I have 4 other siblings, by the way, okay. so we all play instruments, but like that day, my dad was just like, do you guys want to play an instrument? And like being 8, you know, I just said yeah. You know, I didn't really know what I didn't know like nothing about music. So he asked me what instrument. I was like, I don't know. The piano seems kind of cool. So he was like, all right, bet. And then like some months later, he got me a piano teacher. But it was really my uncle. And my uncle kind of plays in his church, and he was basically teaching me what he knows. So well, I just used what he taught me to play like different hymn songs in church. And then like, I started playing in school, and then I used what the school knows plus what I learned from church and kind of, you know, put them together and, you know, just started doing my own thing. Now I use YouTube, started researching like the basics in YouTube, basic piano stuff, learned on YouTube. And then I kind of got into beat making in high school, being around this one friend, his name is Duran. We used to just make piano melodies inside the practice room. And then one day he brought his laptop and we just started like recording just different melody ideas, and he put the beat to it. And then like I kind of just researched like what was making beats, and kind of did my research on it, started learning how to make beats, started looking at people make beats, and I started just kind of just making my own beats. But really, like I say, my dad kind of got me into making music, because if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't learn how to play the piano. And like if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't get that far as like making beats as well, using the piano to make beats. So definitely my dad kind of brought me into it.
Mm-hmm. And then what was like the turning point when it came to like actually putting content out there? With, I don't know if your mindset was ever like, I want to make money off this, or was it at first just that type of thing, like you just want to like share what, you know, what you're learning with the world?
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen one of my TikTok videos. I did a video with Marcus Veltri. He's another creator that he plays piano for people and kind of get their reactions. So before making beats, I used to be watching everybody on YouTube. Like I know all the YouTubers, and he was one of the people I watched on YouTube. And then prior to like getting my laptop, started making beats, I was like, I can start making videos like making beats for people. That was my original idea. Mm-hmm. Until I seen his video, and I was just like, how about I play the piano for people? Because I still had the skill of playing the piano. So watching his videos, I was just like, I'm about to just steal everything he does. And crazy thing, we had the same piano and everything. So like, it kind of looked like I was his son, low key. And it wasn't like that, but it kind of was at the same time. So
dad.
Yeah. So like, I started my first year making the videos like he does. I kind of got some, you know, exposure. People in my comments like, oh, you like Marcus Veltri? And I was like, yeah, like that's the person I look up to. Until like I think it was last summer where I was just on Omegle and like just scrolling past people, you know, I was just pressing the skip button because I was trying to get to a certain audience. You know, I just like talking to certain people.
Certain audience.
Certain people, huh?
I was trying to find a certain audience, and then boom, I seen a dude with a mask. And like from the jump, I already knew who it was because like Marcus, he always wear masks. And I'm like, ain't no way that's Marcus. So he was like, yo, what's up? And I was like, oh, he didn't even say nothing. He does a little thing where he just puts like a little board and it was like song requests. And I was like, play Interstellar. And like he played it. His friend came out, played the violin, started playing it together. And then he was like, do you have a song you want to play for us? And I was like, I mean, I'm gonna play the same thing. So then I'm not gonna lie, I showed off a little bit, like just because I knew that I was recording this. He was probably recording. I think his friend was recording it for his page. So like I was like, I think this is my big moment to like, you know, kind of go crazy. So I played Interstellar. Bro took off his mask. He never takes off his mask. He took off his mask. He was like, damn, you're pretty tough. I'm like, appreciate it, bro. Yeah, I didn't want to seem like, you know,
fanned out.
I was kind of being humble. I was like, yeah, appreciate it. Like, you guys are tough too. He was like, nah, like, you're really incredible. Like, you made me take off my mask. I was like, nah, you guys are good too. I kept on saying, like, they good. Like, I didn't really want to put the shine on me. And then, like, I literally posted that video the next day. Like, usually when I make a video, like record on Meagle, it takes me, like, a couple of days to look through all the videos and, like, edit it. But, like, that one I knew, like, that one's gonna hit. So like I literally, when I woke up the next morning, edited it and posted it, I think it hit like 70,000 or something like that. And they seen it and it was like, damn, like we got some competition. So like that was probably one of my good feelings of like starting making videos, because the dude I used to watch, I was able to kind of meet him and like make a video with him. That was pretty tough.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And bouncing off that, still want to get like both of y'all individual stories as well, but how much of there's an aspect when it comes to putting out content, whether it be like music or anything, where it's like you're kind of actually just like cutting and pasting like certain aspects of like other artists, other creatives that you like. Like, is that like something that like goes through all of your heads, or it's like everything just gotta be original? So it but goes you, to any of you, but
yeah. You mean like inspiration and
creative stuff? Yeah. Inspiration.
You wanna answer first? You want me to?
You go ahead.
Yeah. So I think obviously it's a mix of both. It's always good to tap into like your individuality as a person, like what makes you you, mm-hmm. but also like it's like hooping. It's like anything, right? It's like, of course, Steph Curry, but he needed to learn from somebody to become that, right? He just don't wake up one day and work hard, and that's like style is developed that way. So I know me, I listen to a lot of albums. Like I listen to 200 albums like a year.
Wow.
Pretty much. Yeah. And all different styles, not even just rap, just like any type of stuff. Like I'm really big into obviously the African scene, the UK scene, French speaking African scene as well. Just literally just anything I can get my hands on, like indie as well. Not super crazy indie, but indie as well. And I just know that all those things like inform my style one way or another. So I know that, okay, cool. Even if I'm never gonna sing like this or do this or rap like this, it's just nice to know that pocket is available so that when I work, I have all these different possibilities and options at hand. And then from me being me, I could just take what I wanna take and just add all my own spice to it and figure it out. Yeah.
Real. To answer that question, when it comes to, because he's right about like that mindset in regards to music and whatnot, but when it comes to content, I don't really trip too much about whether or not an idea has already been done or if somebody else lays claim to whatever idea I'm trying to do. Ultimately, I feel like if the content looks good, and the algorithm likes it, then hey, bro, do what you got to do to get to where you want to be. Does that kind of make sense?
No, yeah, for sure.
Oh, if you mean social media, then yeah, I agree with
you. Yeah, I mean, I was going into like both aspects. I think social media, obviously, like you got to go with like, what's working. But like with music, I guess I'm thinking of even just like had I on here like last week or 2 weeks ago, and it's like, you know, when you're going into making a song, sometimes you're just looking at like something type beat, like some artist, right?
Yeah.
So like that's, I wanted to know more, I guess more for you too, like you know, the music aspect. So
I think especially like low budget, right? Like if you're not, we're not up or anything like crazy. Mm. So when it comes to that, it's like even you might have heard Four Bass last week or 2 weeks ago say, hey, all those beats on my EP, they're all type beats.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. So it's just kind of like you start with what you got, whatever, and then from there. But you could really make a type beat your own. It's like the podcast right now. It's like, cool, we might not have the craziest equipment in the world, but like can make it our own.
Right.
And we can create a moment. I don't need the most high-tech stuff to create a viral moment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's valid.
Mm-hmm. I spent the first like couple years of me like doing music, trying to, like, I was very like, oh, everything got to be original with all my old stuff. Everything, like, I'm not going to use no type beats. I was even hesitant, I was against using splice samples.
For
real? Yeah, for the longest time. It took me a while to be like, all right, you know what? Let me chill out. See, the thing is, though, the mindset behind that was I wanted to get better at doing the, like making the beats myself and stuff before I decided to allow myself to do other things as well. Now, that worked. However, that also added a lot of years to like my development and stuff. If I had just gone straight into getting beats from other places, then I might have been able to progress even faster, kind of thing. Not even progress even faster, but like in terms of like career wise or like
sonically too. Yeah,
I don't even necessarily think sonically. I think more so like from like a numbers wise, I might have been able to progress faster.
Oh, yeah.
But I think for like as an individual, for my growth specifically, learning how to like intrinsically do everything, like how to fully like use FL Studio, how to fully use Pro Tools, how to fully find these different beats, play stuff together, all that stuff, whatnot, that helped a lot with me getting to where I am right now. But,
okay, got you.
Also, I've been trying very hard not to be explicit. Is that an issue, or is that something I should be aware of? I've been trying very hard not to be explicit.
Oh, yeah. No, you straight. Okay. You straight. Cool. This ain't no, like, school-funded joint.
No, this is
I got my media training.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was like, okay, hold on. Let me be on my P's and Q's. So, actually, I think, you know what I'm saying?
No. You can say whatever you want. But, I mean, you already kind of, like, touching on, like, your how, like, if you started differently, like, maybe you could fast-track your success. So then I guess we can just go on with your individual story, then we'll finish it off with Sean.
Yeah, sure. Individual story. If you ask my mom, she'll say, like, I started making music when I was, like, 7 months old. Mm. But I don't think that's necessarily. I think that's up to interpretation. You know what I'm saying?
That's what all parents say.
That's right? What I'm saying. Because like she was like, "Oh yeah, you sung your first song," but like whole time it was just baby noises. You know what I mean? at least that's how I not remember it, but like how I interpret it. But I didn't really like get into the idea of like making stuff until I was like maybe like 7 or 8 years old.
Okay.
At that time, I grew up in church. And my sisters, they also sung too. And I love Big Time Rush. I love a whole bunch of different artists and whatnot. And so I was like, all right, you know what? Let me start a band. I started a band with my sisters. I don't remember what the name was. But it was like supposed to be like a gospel group, I guess, like a kids gospel group for my church and stuff. And we just kept adding all our friends to it because we like adding your friends and stuff just makes things a lot cooler. And so I would write the songs. I would try to like play on the keyboard to figure out what everything's gonna sound like. Eventually, nothing really happened with that, but it was kind of where I was like, okay, you know what, this music stuff is probably where I'm gonna end up doing. Mm-hmm. In fact, I even tried like going into middle school. I tried to do other career paths. I looked into marine biology. I looked into being an astronaut. I looked into accounting. I looked into screenwriting, directing. Yeah. I was almost about like really trying to be an author. Like I was looking up and calling literary agents based in DC and Maryland back at like 12 years old. But it's like at the back of my head, I knew like, what are you wasting your time? You know, it's going to be music. But, in that middle school time period, I joined this program called Rock Band, taught by the wonderful Miss Levy. Shout out Miss Levy, in Germantown, Maryland. And the Rock Band program, it's basically a program where students are able to learn about pop culture and history of the 20th century through a lens of music. So we learned about acts like Jackie Brenston. We learned about acts like Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder. We learned about the Beatles, Elvis, et cetera, et cetera. And we learned about their contributions to music and then their contributions to pop culture. We also get to play their music. So that's how I learned about music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And so just like imagine a bunch of middle school kids learning about all this music. And like going home to their parents and be like, "Oh, have you ever heard of Oasis? Or have you ever heard of? I'm blanking on a name right now, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just going to your parents and be like, "Have you heard of this band?" And then your parents are like, "What the hell, you know about that?" Yeah, exactly. But so we got to play that music with non-traditional instruments. So, like, if you're a kid and you want to learn like how to play electric guitar, you usually would have to go outside of school to be able to do that. You'd have to like join or get special lessons and stuff from places. But Ms. Levy, she figured out a way to like make it such that students could learn that in school. So I learned how to play keyboard and I sang in a band. So part of that program was that you would learn how to do that stuff, how to play these instruments in context with other instrumentalists and other like small groups. And then you guys would rotate in bands and learn how to play different songs. So that experience kind of like got me into the idea of really solidified the idea of doing this stuff as a group, showed the enjoyment of it. It was my first experience working with live instrumentation and working with people who don't like to listen, which I'll touch back on that soon.
Okay.
But
well, you got to touch back on that.
No, because it needs to be talked about. It needs to be talked about.
You talking about you?
No, I'm talking about you too.
No, niggas don't know how to listen. But anyway,
I'm saying if I'm going down, we all going down.
I will blow this whole shit up.
Boom.
You say you could hurt.
All right, you're right. Let me show. But so that was a really cool experience, doing the whole Rock Band thing. And that's actually where the first 242 came about. So Room 242, that was like the name of the band. It was me and four other guys. I was the lead singer and the keyboardist. And we were like a proper rock group. Like our inspirations were like Green Day, and, like Pierce the Veil, and 3 Days Grace, like bands like that. You know what I mean? That's what we wanted to do. That's what we listened. That's the kind of music that we listened to at the time. And then we did that for like a yearish, maybe like trying to like get to it. But then as we got into high school, we all kind of gradually realized that we messed with hip hop and like pop and R&B a little bit more. Yeah. So we transitioned it to a label. And then that's what it was for the majority of high school. We kept adding people, adding our friends. I learned how to do FL Studio, Pro Tools, Adobe Premiere, BandLab, all these different softwares through this one program called Music Technology and 4SW, it's another club, taught by Avi Silber at Northwest High School, also in Germantown. Really awesome program. So it's kind of like with Rock Band, but where you learned all these things in school, But instead of like guitar, bass, piano, drums, now we're learning how to use FL, Pro Tools, et cetera, in this music technology program, which I think is probably one of the best high school music technology programs like I've ever heard of, because you're actually getting all this hands-on experience and like you're actually being graded on, are your beats good? Not just did you just make a beat, but are your beats good? Is this a good mix? Is this, you know what I'm saying? It's like a college-level program, but like for high school students, which is really amazing. So that helped a lot with like being able to get to where we are today. So we started like engineering all our own stuff, producing all our own stuff, and just getting those skills, grinding that out. Pause. But,
no one was even thinking about that.
For real. Let me just stop because then we're gonna do this the whole interview. But
you just started fresh.
I know, that's my bad. That's my bad. But then going to the college is just taking everything that we learned in middle school and high school, and then just taking it to the max. Mm-hmm. We have to lock in because I say all this stuff that we've been grinding since 2012, 13, but we didn't get like nice with it until like 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to consider like the time where this is music I'd actually have people listen to more often. Mind you, we were still putting stuff out.
Yeah.
So like we damn near completely scrubbed the internet of everything prior to like 2020, but.
I was trying to do my research. I was like, these guys didn't exist before 2020.
You're not gonna mind it.
Somewhere like at the bottom of the ocean. No, for real. I think our first listenable, at least in my opinion, our first listenable song, I mean, I'm not it, but our first listenable song is Move Slowly, in my opinion. Mm. That was the first song I was like, oh, I can show this to people. I can put this in a playlist and nobody's gonna be like, this is not, like, what is this? What's going on here?
No, that's valid. So, I would say our, like, as a group, our first one, I'd say Summer Roads.
Okay, I am on that one.
Yeah, you are on that one.
Yeah.
And then if who you gonna tell went better, that would have been a second, but no. But that was like what, 2021 or was that 2020?
I was here, so it was pandemic time, definitely.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so we didn't get nice with it until then. My first song that like I did like as a solo artist that was nice was Survivor, which I did with the homie West Street.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Ryan. He went here, graduated. Really cool dude. He's more in the electronic space. And we decided to link up after meeting at the Terrapin Beat Society, a club meeting. When I didn't even go here, I had to go all the way from Montgomery College on the bus to get over here because I was just like, you know, let me just do things. You know what I'm saying? Let me just do stuff. Met him there, made that crazy song, and then that actually snowballed into making Honey in the Clouds, which snowballed into Never Forget, which snowballed into Status Quo, and meeting Rudolph and joining SDR, and that which all snowballed into Day 5, which snowballed into where it's actually crazy how everything
still snowballing.
Happens. Still snowballing, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
And for you, Sean?
So my journey, I guess, is kind of very different from these two. Because although I grew up, like, my mom definitely, like, listened to, like, a bunch of different things. So, like, I grew up on, like obviously African stuff. I grew up on Caribbean stuff. Like, I grew up listening to Jacquier, like, hella Haitian music. As well as, like, obviously, like, American stuff and whatnot. And, like, Tupac, Nas, all that stuff. But, I didn't really grow up. I didn't grow up a musician. Like, actually, I wasn't really doing nothing until, like, 9. I was more into, like, martial arts. So, like, pretty much up until, I want to say 2016, like, I was really, like, my goal was at the time was to try to get into UFC, which is, like, a whole different thing. Yeah, so I was, like, and even throughout high school, I was on the U.S. national, like, taekwondo team. Mm-hmm. Like, I was ranked for wrestling. I went on, like, a 25 win streak my senior year. Did here kickboxing.
Nah, continue. My fault.
You want to beat me, though?
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, you didn't get fight, bro.
Yeah, I got a couple knockouts under my wing.
Knock me out, though.
And stuff. And then, yeah, so I went up. So, and a large part of, like, I didn't go to UMD. So a large part of, like, me going, like, to, like, university or college or whatever was, like, out the country. Just because my mom's job, like, has really good benefits. Mm-hmm. So I went to Canada, I was training with actual, like, fighters in the UFC, and, like, some of the dudes, I was, like, maybe 17, and there was, like, some people that were, like, I was kind of going back and forth with to the point where I got, like, invited to, like, the professional sparring, like, where all the pros fighting, so I'm, like, 17. I remember one instance where somebody who I played in a video game was asking me how to throw a kick the way I throw it, and I was, like, that's crazy, because I played you in an EA video game, and just like I got to help people with like as like a sparring partners for their fights and whatnot. So I was like really trying to do that. But then just because of like logistical stuff, if you're like MMA fan, you might know with like Reebok deals and sponsorships and stuff, and just having them talk to me about like how they used to have more money, but because of how the money's divvied up now, they literally their paychecks get cut. It just kind of just like I don't know, dissuaded me from kind of going that route. And I was at a kind of a crossroads, and I was trying to figure out what else I want to do. Obviously the school and stuff, but it's like, okay, cool. What else, like hobby wise, do I want to do? And then I remember I was chilling with one of my friends who was recording. We were talking about music, and then one of his other friends who came in started recording, and he did a verse, and it was fire. But I was like, I feel like I could do better than that. And like in high school, I used to like freestyle my friends in the car like every Wednesday or something like that. And then I just kind of went from there and tried to like do some with that. And that same friend had an open mic that he went to where it was like a whole bar packed, and it was just a giant jam session for like 3 hours. So I went up there, I had like 3 verses written down, maybe 1 memorized. So I was like, I'm gonna just do like 3 verses. I ended up doing like, I'm just do 1 verse. So I ended up doing like the 3 verses and then just freestyle 2 other ones on top of that. And I was like, oh, okay, like that's like fun. So from there, yeah, that's when I started kind of getting on my journey. And then later that summer, that's when go to the library, and that's when I like met Kang and stuff, and kind of linked up with 242. I'm not actually like a founding 242 member like that at all. I'm early, but I'm not founding. So 242 was kind of already a thing when I joined, and there's been like members switching and whatnot and all that stuff. And yeah, so yeah,
I got you. And like in all 3 of those stories, I kind of like noticed like there was different significant moments that kind of like made you not establish in terms of numbers, but establish in terms of like, this is kind of like my identity. Like, how you're talking about Survivors, like the first joint that was like, yo, this is like a Kang song. And I actually had that written down, because the stuff before that, I had like Satisfied, and then the 2 ones in between,
like Frosty Freestyle
and Scrooge. I was like, yo, this guy's come far.
Those are still left. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's the luck. No, because like there are some things even before that I'm like, all right, this can't go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay. Surprised
Frosty Freestyle still up.
I'm okay with Frosty Freestyle still being up, because then you can see, came far, very far.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of just establishes the journey a little bit.
Yeah. And I was asking what my question was going to be with that, was just like, in terms of, from my point of view, it seemed like you were just trying different things. You know what I'm saying? You actually have a lot of different bags, but they're kind of like signature bags, if that makes sense. So, so like, what happened and you were like able to, as me as someone who doesn't like know music well, what can you say makes a difference between a Frosty Freestyle and a Kang now? Like, what are some things that you can point to as a musician that like kind of shows that growth?
The difference between Frosty Freestyle...
Frosty Freestyle Kang, not Frosty Freestyle, just the song. Okay.
The difference between Frosty Freestyle Kang and... what was the last one? Day 5 Kang.
Yeah.
Is all the other songs in between.
Mm.
Just like grinding, getting in the lab, making shit, releasing shit, going through the whole process. And then also like expanding your musical like palette. Not even... because like it's not even like my taste in music changed necessarily. Just like... I hear a song and I'm like, oh, I want to do that song, but what would it sound like if I made that song? And then that's kind of how shit grows.
Mm-hmm.
And then just being more open to like collaboration and getting more talented at like the technical aspects. Because as I get better at mixing, I'm like, oh, yeah, can never do that again. You know what I'm saying? Or like as I get better at writing, I'm like, oh my goodness, that was atrocious. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not even going to out myself, but I used to make some interesting decisions.
Yeah.
When writing songs or like
what
my voices and stuff, I make some crazy decisions, and it's not like I regret those decisions, because I don't believe in regretting anything in your life. I feel like it's kind of don't make sense, but not everybody needs to hear that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
you learn from every song basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just getting your reps in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how important is like knowing like the whole process of creating a song as like, you know, producer or like an like, you know, a recording artist? Because I do know that like, there's some people, it's like they come, they sing, then everybody does all the work. The same thing, like, you know, like how we were talking about, there's a difference between someone who makes beats and then someone like who's a producer off camera, right?
Yeah.
Like, how important would you guys say to your growth and to like your ability to actually produce like the best like music comes from like you understand like every part of like what goes into actually like putting out a song, not just like the one part that's like you're kind of known for? Anyone can take that question.
I'll answer real quick. Yeah, yeah, personally, yeah. I feel like that's the most important. Like, that's how you get the best stuff.
Okay, cool.
But that's like that's different for most other people, or not most other people. That's, it's different for everybody. But I think yeah, knowing how to do everything, like as a the kind of creator I am, it's like okay, if I know how to do everything, that means I can have more input and to how everything like ends up coming out. Like I used to mix up my own stuff, but now I have somebody who primarily does. He was supposed to be here today. Rudolph, he's the one who engineered Day 5. Shout out Rudolph Travers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, like now he primarily does stuff, but because I have a background knowing how to do engineering, I can go offer my two cents in, and then we can, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can sometimes I can just go behind the computer and be like, all right, this is what I'm trying to teach, because if I can't explain it properly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, just being able to do that is a really, really, really useful skill. I highly recommend it. But what do y'all think?
I was going to say, oh my bad, just knowing the end vision of it, because like you said, like some people just go and record the vocals and dip. But like if you come in with a mindset knowing that, oh, I want this song to be the song of the summer, or I want this song to be played in this place or this type of setting, I feel like that's going to help push the song even more. Like Kenny was saying, just having the mindset of doing everything. And like we was talking about the difference between beat maker and producer, because some people just make beats and just put it on YouTube and they call it a day. Like just make a beat, put on their website, and that's it. But then the producers will actually make the beat, try to go find the artist that who would, you know, fit on the beat. And then once they find the artist, they begin the process of making the song, what the genre is, where the song is going to be played. After the song is made, who can help mix the song, who can help put it on the streaming platforms. I feel like the producer is just there the whole process, whereas the beat maker just sends the beat out and just continue making beats and just, you know, keep on going. So I feel like that's the difference between producers and beat makers.
On that same tip, bro, I've always considered like the producer to be like the Nick Fury of a song.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you might not be an Avenger, like fighting all the aliens or whatnot, mm-hmm. but you're the one who put that whole shit together, and you're the one who like kind of leads or nudges them to where it's supposed to go. So a producer, like they might not know how to make beats, but if you got a good ear and you know how to like talk to people and like get people and like bring people together, then you can make a record. You can find a producer. You can find other artists. You can, if you need to write, you'll write. You know what I'm saying? Like you do all these different parts. You do what needs to be done. I think the best producers have the skills to do all these different things.
Yeah.
And then just like supplement it with, you know, who can do these things even better than you can, and then just make a great record.
Respect. Yeah. For sure. And with you, Tosin, what was the transition? You may have even touched on it, but like the transition between, you know, dropping beats to actually like producing. What was that, I guess, like time period?
I think it was definitely coming into college. Because in high school, I started making beats my senior year of high school. And I believe my senior year in that summer was me learning how to make beats. So I wasn't calling myself a producer. I was just surely a beat maker, learning on YouTube, getting advice from people. And then coming to college where I wanted to start working with people, I think I started thinking of myself as more of a producer. More of, I'm not only making beats, I'm kind of just myself, like me making beats is actually, I see myself as a brand. So before like J Keys, I was like Jeremiah Music. It's kind of crazy because like, I don't like that name. Like every time.
It's very, very on the nose.
Yeah, it's just like people from my high school, they know me as Jeremiah Music. True. And then, yeah, it's just that's Jeremiah A Music.
Jeremiah A.
Yeah, it was my Instagram name before and I didn't like it. And like the whole, like rebranding myself, I went on Instagram talking to my best friend. The person that said AJ with Kewin, he's my best friend. We had this talk and I was like, yo, I need to change my name. And he was like, he was giving me different ideas. He said Sweet Life of Tosin. It was just nasty. It was bad.
Sweet Life of Tosin?
That's nasty work. That's crazy.
I'll never forget that day. I told him like, nah, we can't talk no more.
Yeah, I was gonna say we can't be friends no more.
But Sweet then, like, Life of Tosin? Oh my goodness.
Nah, cause like one of my favorite shows was like, he was like, what's your favorite show? And I was Sweet like, Life. Yeah, Sweet Life on Deck.
On Deck?
Yeah, Sweet Life on Deck. So then he was like, Sweet Life of Tosin. I was like,
you like On Deck better?
Yeah, we're not going to get into it right now.
But yeah, like I was just like, nah, that sucks. And he was just like, just name yourself Keys. And I'm like, Keys? Like, that sounds dumb. And he was just like, Jeremiah Keys. And I was like, my last name is not Keys. Like, I was thinking about Alicia Keys. And he was just like, J Keys. And I was like,
there we go. Yeah.
That sounds kind of hard. And then, like, out the gut, AJ, what are you in? I'm like, what'd you say? And I'm like, I'm like, say that again and record yourself saying it. So I made my B tag, and then ever since I made my Instagram name, the whole getting my Instagram name was a whole process. That's a whole another story. It took me a minute to get it, but I finally got the Instagram name. I started branding myself, and like that's when I started having the mindset. It's like I'm not just a beat maker. I kind of see myself as a producer. If I make a beat for somebody, I kind of want to be there through the process of how they make it, how they mix the song and stuff like that. And that's when I started getting into like, I'm starting to mix vocals now as well. So I'm trying to like not only be like just this beat maker, but like there throughout the whole process, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's from the transition started from, I think right when I got into college, like my freshman year of college.
Mm-hmm. I got you. And in terms of growth, I think like, you know, now in this day and age, there's a lot of different ways to like get that, especially through social media. And I'm like very interested in terms of like your growth, because obviously you incorporate music with all like the content that you put out, which I guess indirectly, like, you know, allows you to get in front of more people. It's not just like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you started out, you know, doing the like, you know, just playing piano, putting videos up.
Yeah.
Then like it transferred into like the Omega type of stuff. Then like you're making piano covers. So like, talk to me a little bit just about like the strategy behind. Is there a strategy where it's like I'm just gonna keep on incorporating my music in different type of ways to like, you know, get my name out there, or is it just like I'm just having fun and then like it's gonna lead to success?
At first, it was me having fun, and I realized like I'm not only making people for the people that I know, but like people across the world. So then I was like, how can I make it me having fun at the same time, but at the same time, me like kind of bringing up my brand? So I started thinking about engagement, and I'm thinking like, I will make a piano cover video, and like only my friends would like tag, like me comment, fire emoji. But I started thinking like, how can I get like other people around the world? So then I started like, in my videos, I started just talking to people. So like, instead of just playing the piano, how about I talk to them? And then once I talked to them, I played the piano and I continued to talk to them. And I started doing that. At first, like, I was not making funny jokes. It was just like, hey, what's up? What song should I play? They gave me the song and I play it. And then I was just like, okay, I'm getting somewhere with this. So like, let me start being more funny. Let me start being myself. Mm-hmm. So like, I started being myself. And then that kind of just changed the way how I look at making videos. Just like, how can I engage with people? And I feel like that's like the transition for me. Just making videos with no audio, just strictly piano audio, to like me making videos with like just real life audio, human voices and stuff like that. So just having that mindset that I want just to engage with people, that kind of changed everything.
Got you.
Yeah.
And I'll actually give this one to you to answer first, Sean. Going still on the topic of like growth, and maybe this could be a question for regarding like 242. What are those like strategies other than just like, you know, consistently putting out good music? How are you, you know, setting yourself up so like as many people can like hear that music as much as possible?
I feel like it's just consistency at this point.
For sure.
I feel like there's some, I mean, we could probably all work on, but I feel like that's something I need to work on. Definitely consistency, but I feel like it's kind of a new season and that's kind of what we're getting into. But honestly, it's like if you just put out good product and just be mindful about how you're putting out good product, like inevitably it's just gonna catch fire. It's just a matter of time. It's just if you keep consistently doing that, right? It's just, it's like anything, right? Like I said, I come from a sports background before music, so the way I even approach music is very much like get your reps in, pretty much. So that's kind of like everything is everything. So just how you do one thing, it just lends itself to how you do anything.
Gotcha.
No, he means that. He says get your reps in, that specific phrase, so damn much. I think that's like the number one thing I've ever heard you say. Like, you know, I mean, not even, but yeah, no, it really is about getting your reps in.
Get your reps in.
You've heard him say that like hell of a couple right? times. That's what I'm saying.
It means practice. Really
yeah.
Okay, got you. Did you have anything to add to that point or not? It was like same thing.
Yeah.
You just want to hate on me?
I wasn't even hating. I was accentuating that yes, you do come from a sports background. That's why he always makes sports references in all his songs. Every single verse you ever heard him on, there's some kind of sports reference.
For sure.
That's just what he does. Like he can't help it, you know?
I play basketball too.
I still don't believe you.
He's gonna say that.
I still don't believe you.
I played in high school.
You told me you're nicer than AI, right?
Nicer than Allen?
AI.
Iverson?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I gave him some tips like when I was younger.
You said you gave him a tip? Yeah, how's it feel to be on the other end?
I ain't lying, I'm not nicer, but like we kind of like if it's him, I'm like right there.
I got you. Oh, where I want to go with this? You talked about, you referred to how he's always been using basketball references, right? Obviously,
not just basketball.
Just sports references, right? So talking about like, you know, your style of music, the topics that you touch. A lot of it does have to do with love. I know the first song that I tapped into, you know, trying to go as deep as possible, was Satisfied, right? And that joint is
you
like...
You did your research. You really did your research.
Yeah, man. Satisfied. That joint's like, you literally depressed type. Mm. But then, when I compare it to all the joints now, it's like, you still talk about, like, the ups and downs, maybe, like, just, you know, relationship between men and women, and then obviously as your career's gone up. But, like, everything's more of, like, on the type of thing where it's, like, you cool type. So, like, is your music really, like, actually an evolution of your love life, or is it just, like, making stuff that's relatable?
Oh, we got you.
Man, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
That's crazy.
Where you about to put this interview again?
All platforms.
All platforms. Okay, okay. Let me stop playing, but,
He's about to get canceled.
What do you think?
He's not about to get canceled.
No,
he's
no,
no. Gotta watch his words. I just want to hear...
Okay. Kind of yes.
Okay.
For the most part, yes, actually. There's a couple songs in there that are just like for the vibes, you know what I'm saying?
But, for sure.
Generally, yeah. Like, Satisfied specifically, I didn't make that because, like, I have any situation or anything. That was just, actually, no, I was inspired by another song that when I get inspired by one song to make a song, the two songs sound very, very dissimilar. Like, extremely dissimilar. Satisfied? Actually, I want to see if you can guess. Can you guess what song like inspired Satisfied?
No.
No? No?
What song?
It was Higher by Rihanna.
Mm,
they don't sound nothing alike. Not even a little bit. It don't even process. Mm. And Satisfied is trash compared to those ones. But, that was just because like I wanted to, I was inspired to do that kind of thing. But the reason I think that Satisfied doesn't hit a whole lot is because I wasn't fully emotionally invested in it like that. Or I didn't have any other stories to reference and stuff. But, regarding my actual real love life, most of my songs are in some way, shape, or form about that. Without trying to, blow my whole spot up or whatnot.
Mm. For sure. And for you, Sean, when it comes to putting out music, how much of it is, like, just creating scenarios that are relatable? Or, like, some of it is, like, the things I've experienced. Because I forget who I was watching. I think it was, like, back in 2019 when Lil Tecca first blew up.
Oh, the interview. The Genius interview.
Yeah.
Where he's, like, talking about, I got shooters. He's, like, I don't shoot.
Yeah, and he says, like, I don't even drive. Yeah. But, bro, when he said that, it kind of, like, made me even more drawn to him. Because it's, like, you're just being honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just being honest. So, like, I'm actually really curious, like, to know, like, you know, how much of, like, the things that you're putting out is, like, yo, it sounds good. People can relate to it, or it's like I actually lived this life.
So, I'm not on no street shit. I'll say that for the camera. I'm not on no street shit.
For sure.
I'll fight people, but guns, knives, that's why I draw the line. You got it, big bro. You know, but.
Big bro's crazy.
If they got a gunner, I'm trying to live. I don't know about you. But
call another guy big bro.
You trying to die then? Okay.
I'm calling him big bro.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, shit, what else are you going to call him?
I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Where do you draw the line?
My life.
I'm saying.
All right, fair. Yeah. That's valid.
I was about to say, rather call him big bro to be pronounced dead, but I'm like, let me leave that alone. Anyways.
Write that down.
Relax. In me being an artist, like starting off to be an artist, right? The worst part that I hate about it is playing songs for other people. It's better now, but it's like, or even telling people I'm an artist, because it's like, you're kind of on, I mean, now he don't have to do it anymore, but it's like, if you tell somebody you do music, now you're on the clock to prove that you're not ass.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
when you do music,
for
right?
For sure.
Like, because people just automatically assume that.
Yeah,
like,
true.
So, like, even in it being good, it's still like, okay, cool, the subject matter. It's like, if I've never really had this situation, but it's like, if I'm capping, I've seen people do this, where they play music and they just be capping in their music. But now I gotta look you in the eye and play you the cap that you gotta listen to for 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
I never wanna do that. So, like, all my stuff is coming from a place of either truth or a place of perspective. So, if it's not my specific situation, it's the situation of somebody I know. Like, Stressing Me, that's one of the songs we have on the EP.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my situation at all. But it's a situation that I know a lot of men and a lot of women can relate to. And there's a conversation in that song. Like, there's conversations that can be started and can be had in that song. Right? But there's other stuff, like, other more, like, personal stuff that, yeah, it is about how I felt about a certain issue, certain person, whatever at the time. So it's kind of like a mix. But typically it's like, if it's not me, it's a situational perspective or it's somebody else. Okay. So that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
But never fake. That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. And I can actually probably still spin this to you, Tosin, as well. You know, when it comes to making a beat for, like, you know, let's just use Aya, for example, right?
Mm.
What is that process in terms of, like, is there emotions involved? Like, he tells you, like, what type of thing he's trying to, like, evoke in the song? Or is it just, like, you know, you just give a couple of different beats and then, like, you know, based off that, that's how, like, the song, like, progresses?
Now, I usually try to make a lot of beats of different vibes. So, like, I don't like making happy stuff. Like, if you go through my page, I don't make a lot of happy major type beats. And if I do, it's not that much. I make a lot of minor chords, minor type beats. And if I'm playing beats like you say, Isle, if I'm showing him some beats, they're probably gonna be in a range of sad things. So like, or sad type sounding. So then he'll probably try to base a song over not a sad song, but like that type of vibe. Mm. So like, it's just whatever I'm feeling. Like even if I start making a beat, sometimes like I go on Apple Music and look through like what's kind of trending, and I kind of try to make the beat around that song. So basically, whatever the vibe is, he would kind of just build the vibe based off what that beat is. And I think that goes for a lot of people. Like, when people, like, start making songs, like, sometimes songs start off without no beats. But if they start off with a beat, they kind of just go off the vibe of the beat and kind of just add on to it for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for Day 5, you created that beat, correct?
Kane came me up, and I added to it.
Okay, you added to it. Okay. So I wanted to, like, get into, you know, the making of Day 5. Obviously, we can go from the beat, the lyrics, whatever, but yeah.
So, Day 5, okay. I was in class. When I sent you that chord progression,
yeah,
I was in class. I don't even remember what class it was, but it was in UMD's production lab. Mm-hmm. Have you been to the production lab?
Yeah, the one in Clarice, or
another one? Yeah, the one in Clarice. Yeah, it's a production lab in Clarice. Every computer has a Mac, MIDI keyboard, interface, all that stuff. But, I was playing around. I came up with those chords. I was like, okay. This is tough. I sent it to myself so on my personal computer I could work on it. I knew I wanted it to be like Afro, even though the chords, we weren't really chords you hear in Afro music a lot. Mm. And so I was just kind of tweaking it a little bit. I also decided that I wanted to like get strings, because again, it's not something I hear super often in a lot of Afro music.
Yeah.
So and then I was like, okay, this is cool, but I know how to make beats, but I don't enjoy making beats. So I was like, all right, let me call somebody who has experience making Afro beats and actually enjoys doing it. So I call Jay Keys up. I'm like, yo, Jay, I need you to help me finish this up. So I sent him the Zip Loop package. And then, he sent it back to me like a day or two.
Yeah. And
then I just arranged it from there.
And,
yeah.
And that day I was making it, I always told Kang, but like, when I first started it, I did not like it, because the vision I had for it was not what I created. So I listened back to it, and I was like, I'm not about to send this to him. And I think I still got on my laptop. I got to find the file. But I literally started from scratch again, and I took my time this time, and then like I sent it back to Kang. And literally, I think it was like some days or a week later, he sent me back the song. And I was like, damn, he got the song already. And like, I love the hook. I was like, it's catchy and stuff. He finally put it out. Once he put it out, he started promoting it. And I think once you promoted it, you left it alone for a little bit, and then you promoted it again, mm-hmm. and it started going crazy. And I was like, damn, I actually made this shit. Like, it's just the feeling of like realization when it started going crazy, I was just like, it felt good, because I think that's probably one of my, I have songs with like a lot of people, but like Kang was one of those first songs where it actually like went farther than like all the rest of my songs. So it was a good feeling.
With the with the Day 5, like from an engineering perspective, once I got the finished beat from Jay Keys, it was just, I loaded it up to Pro Tools. I like to record alone generally. Just knock that out. Arrangement is also like a thing I love. I think the beat you sent me was like 4 minutes or something like that. So I had to like just trim a little bit and get it to like be exactly like what it should be for people's attention spans and stuff. And for my attention span, I have a very short attention span. And then I learned a new trick for the crowd vocals and stuff.
A crowd effect?
Yeah. I learned it for the TRL tape.
Mm.
And then I was like, okay, let me use it on this as well. So I had to like refine it a little bit more.
Yeah.
With releasing it, I had my man Rudolph, he engineered, like he did all the final touches with the main mix and stuff and got it to sound like literally amazing. I love how Day 5 sounds.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, no, we decided to put it out. Once we put it out, we did a video with Luke. Shout out, Luke. I'm sure in the description somewhere we can, put bios and add some of that stuff. But Luke shot the video. He's a student at SDR, a student at AU and SDR, the record label club. Really great videographer. He shot that video. We went to somewhere, 10 minutes away from here. That, that gray background place. Yeah, it was, 10 minutes away from here. Shot that real quick. He edited it, sent it to me within a couple of days, and then I put it up. Didn't really do too much at first. And then by that time, Takaya, my manager, she's actually the one who was pushing me to drop the get the song done. So she was throughout the entire process behind the scenes, she was oh, change this, do this, blah 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 blah. She's very good at doing that. Shout out to Takaya. But Takaya, she was getting on my ass about posting and social media stuff and whatnot. So I was like, all right, bro, let me do what I can do. I'm not much of a content creator. Yeah. The reason I do videos is because they don't cost a lot to make, so I don't mind doing it. And then because now I have a 2-minute, 3-minute length video that I can chop up and use and repurpose for content. Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool. I think I started with Never Forget. Posted a clip of Never Forget, put the lyrics on there, because I've seen people do that on TikTok before. Put the lyrics on there and posted it, see how that went. Then the next week I did Over It, which is another 242 song, because we had a video for it. Clipped that, posted it. And then I did it again for Day 5. Clipped that, posted it. I was actually at work when I posted that. Mm. I do substitute teaching for MCPS, and I was at work in the middle of class. I posted it. And then within 45, as the day went on, it just kept going and going. I was like, why are people looking at this? What is different? What changed?
Yeah.
And then that went off. And then, it's been up since then. That's when the whirlwind came through, started, taking all the meetings and stuff. Mm. Started getting flown out places. Bro, we ain't flown over. I felt like a
city girl.
A city girl, bro. That shit was kind of.
I get it.
Get used to that lifestyle.
Yeah. Not too much on JT.
Not too much. But,
I'm just saying
it's cool. It was a good experience. I really get it. I can't judge.
That's so tough.
But it's just been up since that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you know numbers wise the first time you put it out didn't do anything crazy, but did you just know when you before I put it out you knew this is gonna be a banger or nah?
That's how I feel about all my songs.
Okay.
Every time I make a song, I think of it as a hit in some kind of some space.
Okay.
Day 5, I was like, okay, boom. If you had the right eyes behind this, the right money behind this, this would be a hit in the Afro space. Mm-hmm. Same with Love Is the Law. That's actually the last song I put out. If you get the fans of Hozier, the Noah Kahn fans or whatever, those artsy kind of people and shit, put that in front of them. Yeah. That'll go crazy in that space too. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of getting it all to those spaces, and so that's what my catalog currently is all just a bunch of singles. If all those singles were marketed correctly into the right place, it's at a point where I'm confident all of them could blow in some way, shape, or form. And that's that's my perspective on making music. I'm making stuff that I would listen to, and I'm not done with it until I feel like okay, this is a banger. I would listen to this as a solo standalone song. We butt heads about that sometimes, not much anymore, but because I've realized that there is some value in having songs that are just kind of like you're not pushing yourself to be as to be a banger or whatever, but I don't know, it's still kind of the innate mindset that I'm trying to make sure that everything is something that you can genuinely bump, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
I try to make songs that people can either feel like singing along with me with or feel like dancing to. Because I feel like that's what music's about, singing and dancing.
I mean, I feel like you're able to have that mindset, though, because you're actually, putting songs in different spaces, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, if you are in one niche, there's just going to be songs that just aren't going to be bangers. But, because you're consistently in different bags, I feel like it's easier for you to be oh, because I'm not always in this bag. When I do get in this bag, I'm about to put something,
That's crazy, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so what I want to do with that. Okay, so what I was trying to lead to with that was, what was the motivation to be, versatile? Because, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but you probably didn't start out, just going into different niches. It was like something changed, and then like now it's like you got the Afro, you got the pop, you got the hip hop type.
Actually, you know, when I started out, I was just like strictly rapping. I didn't even want to sing.
Yeah, Frosty
freestyle. Don't even shake your head like that. Hey, man, that's what's on me. Mm. But
Frosty freestyle.
I was mainly focused on rapping and stuff. I wanted to be like Biggie. I wanted to be like the Migos. I wanted to be like Gucci. Mm. Then I was like, okay, you know what? Let me sing a little bit. Because I know I can. So, like, let me try it out.
I told you to stop shut
up.
Rapping.
Anyway, shut up. But I told you to stop rapping. It's crazy.
I said start singing rapping. Now look where you're at.
Shut up. But anyway, he's right a lot, but it's very annoying.
Trying to slang you, bro.
right. It's something about Scorpios. You know what I'm saying? They be right a lot of the time, but it's kind of
aggravating. Why are you putting my business out there?
Bro, we can really air everybody's business right now.
There's
already
people who hate me.
He's Scorpio, too.
That's true.
Yeah, he is.
I'm not no damn Scorpio. Don't play with me like that. Don't ever play with me like that. I'd rather be dead than a Scorpio. Shit. Let me chill out. Let me chill out. It's not like they're as bad as like Geminis and shit.
Who's a Gemini?
There's no Geminis in here, right?
No.
I'm just trying to make sure I'm not offending nobody. Yeah. But
nah, bro.
I forgot what the question was.
We're talking about
versatility.
Yeah.
Right, okay, started out with rapping. I was trying to like really lock in and focus on that, but over time I just kind of like realized that I liked other things. Like I wanted to just make music that I would actually listen to. Mm-hmm. And I started listening to more singers and stuff, and then also I kind of realized that in this new day and age that we're in with streaming and all that stuff, like I have a hypothesis that the most, and we've already kind of seen it a little bit, but the next like huge superstars, and the reason, let me finish that thought. But the next huge superstars, I believe, are artists that are going to be, like those who are more versatile, that are able to trend and chart in multiple different genres, will be the next wave. It's already started, like happened and shit. There's some like artists like if you look at name artists.
I was gonna say Central C. He's starting to.
Yeah,
starting
I'm saying even like stuff. Even before Central C too. Like,
I mean, there's XXXTentacion.
Right. Even if you look at Drake. Like, yeah, he's a rapper, but when he's able to dabble other genres and, like, do it decently well, even though some people disagree. But just, like, stuff like that, that's, like, what I think the next superstars in music are gonna be like. People who you can stream their shit on country and it makes sense. It sounds good. Yeah. And then you can stream their shit in the pop genre and it sounds good. You can stream their shit in R&B, Afro, hip-hop, blah, 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 and it all sounds good. But then together it also still all sounds cohesive, too. Like it all makes sense. You never get like absolutely surprised when you hear this stuff. Mm. That's what I think is gonna start to get more popular when in the industry. But what do I know? I'm just a guy from Maryland. I don't know nothing, bro. But So that's why I was like, okay, cool. Let me be more versatile. People used to ask me what like I wanted my sound to be like, and my answer was I wanted my sound to be versatility. I wanted you to like just hit shuffle on my discography. I'd be like, oh, this is nice. Then you go to the next song, and you're like, oh, this is the same guy. Then go to the next song, and be like, oh, this is the same guy. And it's like, it's kind of like from a business perspective, right? I want to be your one-stop shop for damn near everything you potentially want.
Amazon, you want to be Amazon.
Wow. See, now that kind of just blew me. That kind of blew the hell out of me. I don't want to be Amazon. Relax. But
eBay.
I'm sorry.
I'm not mad at eBay. I'm not mad at the idea.
Not shopping at eBay.
Timu's crazy. Cancel the whole shit. Matter of fact, delete all that footage. That's logic. GarageBand? Oh my God! No, I'm
AliExpress so bad.
AliExpress is crazy, but
Alibaba.
Alibaba, bro.
But like, I don't know. It's just when you're like, if I'm a business, right? I want my customers to not feel like they have to go somewhere else to get what they want. Like, I feel like you could try to get it here. You might not like it. Of course, you're able to like go to other places and stuff still. But like, if you really wanted to, you could literally exist right here in this one space and listen to everything you want. It's the same. We use that same method for our parties, our events and stuff. We provide food, drinks, live music, a DJ, spaces to go chill. Sometimes we have video games. Sometimes we have just a big crowd to dance floor and stuff. It's all catered such that your entertainment needs for the night are all taken care of in one place. And you pay one ticket to get in, you get everything, all access type. You know what I'm saying? That way, you don't have to, you go to the bar and then you want to go get food, so you have to go walk somewhere to go get food. And then let's say, oh, you know what? Dang, I wish I could have had like some live music. You know what I'm saying? All these different things you can kind of get taken care of in one place. And so I kind of, you know, use that same mindset with the music and stuff. It's like, oh, if you want to listen to a ballad, you can listen to it here. If you want to listen to some hip-hop shit, you can listen to it here. If you want to listen to some Afro shit, you can listen to it here. But, of course, there's a way to do that. It's very tricky to do, but, like, you don't want to get too lost in the sauce with doing everything, because then you might, the stuff might get too convoluted. So I feel like the what I've been trying to do is, like, find, like, maybe three or four genres that are relatively, that relatively kind of make sense to each other. And then just stick to those, get those, like, really figured out and stuff. And then, continue expanding from there as needed. And so, for me right now, it's a lot of, like, melodic hip-hop, which I do tend to do more with 242. It's a lot of R&B, a lot of Afro stuff. I mind you, I've been saying Afro because I don't necessarily like saying Afro beats, because Afro beats is more like a genre. But when I say Afro, I mean, like, all Afro, like Afrocentric music, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that might mean Makossa music, that might mean Amapiano stuff, that might mean Afro beats, that might mean Afro swing, et cetera, et cetera. Afro R&B shit, but just making all that kind of stuff. Honestly, just making black music, I can't lie, bro. That's ultimately what it is. Yeah, I feel like black music, that's really the root of all music. So it's like, okay, boom.
For sure.
Let me just make the stuff that I think sounds tough. And I feel like consumers are getting to a point where genre matters, but it's not as, like, you know what I'm saying, like, people are listening to everything, they're just like good music, so it's like, let me just make good music and then go from there.
Got you. But one thing I would argue, though, and I think this goes for, like, everything in life, there is, like, a certain, like, positive in, like, seeing your strengths and, like, just, like, going all in on that.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Definitely.
So, like, I do think in, like, a variety of industries, like, you can have a gift where, like, you can tap into, like, a bunch of different genres. But, like, you know, Tosin, you were talking about how, like, a lot of your stuff, when you, like, what you're known for, like, what you're really putting out that's having success will probably be, like, the Afro beats, right? And, like, you've actually, like, had a tunnel vision with it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And, like, would you say that, you know, that's been a successful thing for you in the sense that, like, it's better than, like, trying to, like, dive into, like, other types of beats? Because obviously I've been on your website and you got things like different types of niches, right? But definitely the Afro beats is, like, more of your focus.
Yeah, because when I first started, I had the mindset as I could make any type. I mean, I could still make any type of beat.
For sure.
But
talk to him.
You can't make any type of beat.
I can make hip hop and stuff like that, but when I started figuring out that, like, on BeatStars it shows you, like, who buys, like, what type of beat. And, like, I used to just make hip-hop beats, and people used to buy hip-hop beats. But then when I started making R&B beats, they were buying more of those than my hip-hop beats. So then I was just like, let me just make R&B beats. And then my cousin, he was like, why don't you make Afro beats? And I was just like, I don't really. I mean, I like Afro beats. I just don't really make them. So then I was like, let me give it a try. I started making Afro beats, and I just seen a lot of people starting to mess with my Afro beats. And then I was like, well, I got a lot of people buying R&B, a lot of people buying Afro. Not that many brand the hip hop. Let me just make my focus on that specific genre. Okay. And when I started doing that, I started, like, learning more about that genre and, like, try to get better at that genre. And then, like, once I get more of that, I sell more beats of that way. And once I sell more beats of that, and I go back to hip hop and, like, just make some more hip hop type beats. But right now, I think my main focus right now is still R&B and Afro, because that's what I like making more, and that's what, like, people that's who's going on my website are buying more. So having that focus kind of just narrowed it down to which one I'm better at.
Mm-hmm. No, that's definitely valid. I feel like ultimately, like with most things, there's a balance, knowing what you're good at and then knowing what you, like, want to do. Like, you don't see me going to, like, the whole backpack rap. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that boom bap type shit.
That's what you want to do?
No, that's not what I want to do no more. But that is at a point what I want to do. But it's like, I have to recognize that that's not one of my strengths. But then, you know, I kind of, you know, it's like, it's a fine line between trying to be super versatile and then also trying to, you know, lock in with what you're nice with.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of, like, training, getting better at all this stuff, and then fully believing that you're nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just, like, believing you're nice and then that you're actually covering up for stuff that's not actually nice, but, like, you know, you just kind of gotta know, you know what I mean? That, like, this is good music, this is good stuff. and then just put it out from there. Yeah, you watch Avatar?
Yeah.
It's kind of like being the Avatar. Yeah. You know, you gotta master all the elements and shit.
Yeah.
You think Aang was having trouble with earthbending, right? But he locked in.
Talk to them.
And he started bending them niggas, bro.
Okay.
Pause.
Yeah. Hey. Are you going to do that?
You might edit that out.
That's the first thing they're going to see when they swipe on Instagram, bro. King interview. Pause. Avatar, bro.
King likes to bend niggas over?
Wow. Hey, yo, chill.
I'm just trying to help y'all get y'all engagement.
That's crazy.
Nah.
I wouldn't be mad at it. I'd be a little... But I wouldn't be... You know what I'm saying? But yeah, no, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's something to be said about the versatility thing, but it's also not, like, I don't think pursuing versatility for the sake of versatility is the move. I think it's like, okay, recognize your skills, and if you're nice at all your skills and you're down to do all those, then, like, why not, you know what I mean? Like, we're in a more accepting time for that.
I still look at it as, like, a learning process, too. Like, even though I say I'm making R&B and Afrobeats, I'm still learning in the way. Like, I want to, like, be at the point where it's, like, when I make this R&B beat, I know, like, every way how to make it. Like, right now, I'm still learning, like, the ins and outs. Like, there's different... Even though under the genre of R&B, there's different subgenres of R&B. So, like, I'm still learning, like, those genres. And then once I figure that out, then I can go on and, like, make other type of beats. So, like, it's still a learning process. So
Yeah, learning process is part of what makes the whole thing fun.
Yeah.
Like, there's always a new skill to attain. You know, it just makes the journey a little more... That much more interesting.
I got you. And for you, Sean, what would you say that in terms of... If you're gonna, how do I say this? Your brand in terms of the music that you're putting out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What would you say that you've locked in on where it's like, yo, that's his type of song?
I'm kind of the same mind as Kang. Probably, obviously, a different skill set, but like, where it's like, I kind of do this, we were talking about this earlier, but I kind of do this where it's like, on 242, I'll use whatever like songs were on there to like, just play around with sounds a little bit and like do like consistent sounds and just whatever, I don't know, whatever I feel like is more commercially viable, even though I like all types of music, so like it don't bother me. I don't feel like I'm compromising myself at all. But then on my own stuff, it's like that's when I want to do the stuff that I would listen to on my own time, for real. So I think, like, obviously I'm more locked in a rap, but as like the music consumer is changing and the interests are changing, it's like, okay, cool. People like maybe like more melodic stuff. People like catchier stuff. So it's like, all right, cool. I'm going to try to transition to that. That's kind of what the other song that you heard the other day was. Mm-hmm. I kind of like trying to transition into that. But it's also like at the bar. Like, I know in the core, like, I still like to like, it's like rap and like bar people up. So it's like, how do I integrate that into this? Like, yeah, it's melodic, but it's like, okay, cool. If you read the lyrics, you're going to be like, oh, he's actually still saying something. Oh, it's actually still conceptual. Oh, so, that's kind of how I feel. As far as, like, just different bags and whatnot, too, I'm a big proponent of, yeah, have, like, one main bag that's your thing.
For sure.
But, like, definitely, like, and it's going to be, your strength is going to be a strength. But it don't stop you from working on the side for, like, getting those other bags right. And you don't necessarily have to show them to the public. Like, this is art, but not all art's meant for consumption, right? So you could work on that. And then when you feel like it's good enough to get brought to the light, then that's when you can start to, like, show that bag a little bit more and show people you could do that. But me personally, how I show that bag, I like to hop into other people's worlds with like features. That's kind of what I ideally like to do. So
And I mean, talking about the features, then, is that something that you would say that's part of your brand then? Because like, for example, I just use 21 Savage for example, like features, you know what I'm saying? No disrespect to like, you know, some of the ones that got the main joints on, but like, you go known for features, his features probably hit more than like the main joints. Would you say that, like, and not in a bad way, do you feel like that for you?
I think right now, but I think that's gonna change. I think a feature just for me is easier to write. It's just like,
okay,
and it's just, I like the to a degree, I like either the like adding your own flavor to a song or the competition of it, depending on the context of it. So it's like, either if it's like a type of song where I feel like it calls for me to outdo you, then that's what I'm gonna do. If it feels like it's not even about outdoing, it's just about adding stuff to the song, just giving more perspective on whatever the topic is. It's that. The 21 Savage thing, I feel like he kind of stamps himself similarly on like most of his songs. I feel like maybe like J. Cole on his initial like feature runs is kind of like more where he's like, all right, cool, I'm gonna hop on a 21 beat, I'm gonna float on like a lot. this way. I'm gonna get on a Moneybagg Yo beat. I'm gonna float on it this way. But mm-hmm. yeah, so yeah. That's how I feel about it. Like, try to like match up more with the person, kind of adhere to their rules.
Mm. Yeah, got you. And I guess it's a good segue to talk about Wanda, which is dropping tomorrow. It feature or like you guys both?
I'm featured. Feature. On
okay, yeah. So that's a good segue. I mean, by the time the joint comes out, like
it's all gonna be out. Wanda's not even. It's not even a feature. It's a
jump
song.
That's what I was gonna say. I don't
even know what's going on. I'll say that.
This goes back to the knowing every part of the process type shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, if he was there when
when we made the song, I just didn't know.
No, that's valid. That's valid.
To be fair, I didn't even know when it was dropping. I was like, oh, that's like the 17th. That's Friday. Oh, like,
shit.
That's
tomorrow. But no, yeah, no, that's in.
Today's Thursday?
6 hours.
That's oh, shoot. Yeah. It's dropping tomorrow. See, this is what I'm talking about. I don't know what's going on.
6 hours, bro.
Mm. Well, yeah, you were saying that, you know, I was looking at the little teasers, the captions, saying, like, oh, this may be, like, you know, our best Afro song. Yeah, just tell me a little bit about, like, the story behind that joint. You know, I would say, what can you expect? But like I said, it's going to be out by then, so. Yeah.
Story of Wanda. Let me see if I can remember. I remember, like, finding the beat, and, like, that was a beat off YouTube. I remember finding the beat in, like, late 2023. Actually, Wander was recorded, like, finished recording in, like, December.
Yeah, because I've seen, like, a post when I was like, I was like, yo, Wanda's
being back. Yeah, you do your research. You really do your research.
You're trying to be Narwhal.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, but it's tough, guys. That's tough. But,
That's tough.
Yeah, I just said that.
All right, bro. Why you going to play? Let me play.
But, with Wander, we found a beat in, like, I think November.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, let me record something on this. Wander, it's actually, No Scrubs. Say My Name. So the concept of Say My Name is kind of like a whole like cheating thing and whatnot. The Wander is about the same thing. Okay. Like, it sounds completely different. But the subject matter of Wander is the subject matter of Say My Name, except with Wander, it's more of like a, okay, bet if this is how it's going to be, then fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, let's really get treacherous with this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is like a real life example that you're going through.
See, you be trying.
He said going through.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's
like,
crazy.
Damn, hold on, bro.
He said consistent.
Hey, listen. That's crazy. Everything, I just believe in putting everything in the music. You know what I'm saying?
I'll leave
it at that. But,
Right. No, your girl's not cheating on you. Don't be real like that. Your girl's not cheating on you.
No, you gotta be mysterious for these type of things. Right? You gotta be like...
crazy.
No, no, but no, it's not like a personal. It's not a personal. It's a culmination of shit I've seen my friends go through. Because damn, the niggas is treacherous, bro. It's
wild out here. It's
a doggy's dog.
Doggy's dog world out here.
What you mean by that?
All right, let's move on. You about to say something stupid, bro?
But yeah, no. So it's a culmination of things that I've seen my friends go through. And then things that I'd be terrified to go through, and then just putting my perspective on that, and then that's how Wander came about. The hook, I had to make it some catchy. The pre-hook, I can make it something catchy too. I low-key be writing damn near every part of my song like it's supposed to be a hook. And that's what helps with the catchiness of everything. But then I also have to put the substance with the lyrics, you know what I'm saying? Sean's verse, I was like, hey, Sean, come get on this, and then you can tell how you ended up writing that
on the song. So basically, I don't know if you showed it to me before or you just sent it to me on the phone. I don't know if that was the first time I heard it, but I remember hearing it. Like, yeah, I was in the crib. I was like, okay, cool. At the time, I didn't really, obviously this is way before Day 5 blew up, so I was like, all right, cool, just another song, just like, let me just merge this real quick. And I want to say I sent a voice note. I had a voice note ready in like 20 minutes, but like obviously going to record it takes, it's like a later thing. But he just kind of told me the concept of it. So it goes back to like the other people's perspective aspect of it, right? And so that's kind of what I was just kind of speak to. And then at the time, I was saying this, at the time I was watching Insecure by Issa Rae. So like I never really watched it before, and I kind of heard the Twitter discussions behind it at the time without watching the show. So when it came out, I was binging it. And they're just moving crazy. Anybody want to come talk to me about this, can come talk to me about this. But they were just moving crazy. Like, Issa and Molly are just moving crazy. So I was just like, all right, cool. Like, that was kind of in my mind, so I kind of referenced that. And then later I found out, apparently, so Issa Rae and the person who plays Molly, I think her name's Yvonne Orji or something like that, they're both from the DMV, too. Didn't know that at the time. But, so I kind of just took the inspiration from that show and just thinking about how I'd feel in that situation and then just put into the verse. And that's what you got. And then I added a little bit of French at the end because, like I said, I'm Ivorian and stuff, so, yeah.
For sure. Got you. And I know you got to leave though, Tosin, or no?
Yeah, what?
I said you got to leave?
Oh, yeah, I got to leave.
Okay. We've touched a lot of things, so I'm pretty sure we could wrap up. So I guess the last thing I just wanted to touch
on. Also, on Wanda, yeah. I want to touch.
Yeah.
The video.
Uh-huh.
Which should also be dropping.
I think it's the day after.
I don't remember what we decided, but yeah, it's dropping very soon, too.
Okay.
That was shot by Chris. And Elliot, Chris goes to UMD, Elliot don't, but crazy video team, like A1 visuals, bro. Oh my god. And so that, I kind of just like, I had played the song for Chris, and Chris was like, oh, let me help you with the visuals for this. And I was like, all right, bet. I believe in like everybody like I want to collaborate with or like potential partners and shit for creative stuff. It's like, okay, let me give you a chance to like go like completely crazy, do whatever you have in mind, and I won't, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll just let you cook type shit. Just to see, like, what your creative vision is and stuff. And I was very pleasantly, not even surprised, because I knew he was going to do good work. But I was just very happy with how it came out. So I'm happy for everybody else to see that, too. We were tired as hell shooting that video. It was like, did we get it done at, like, 2 a.m., 3 a.m.?
I think 3 a.m., yeah, because I got back home at 4. Yeah, I was napping in the car. Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with what he said, bro. Don't make it a positive.
No, you traumatized.
I had enough.
You traumatized.
Yo, I heard napping in the car. I wasn't even worried about that. Okay. I was like, damn, nigga, you was sleeping and driving?
I was about to say
that. That's kind of crazy. Chris dropped me off.
See, you worried about the wrong shit. You worried about my life.
Nah, you was correct. Nah, Chris dropped me off.
Oh, right.
So yeah. Chris made you sleep in a car, bro.
Damn, he put you to sleep.
That's crazy, bro.
Wild work.
See, but you see why he's on guard.
That's what I'm saying, bro. But yeah, no.
Okay, so yeah. So wrapping up quickly, I just want to get like long term, like what's things looking like for you guys? Obviously, Tosin, like, are we trying to get to the point where, like, you know, we like putting out songs and has your name like Metro Boomin type?
Yeah, long term goals. I do want to make a producer album, like Metro Boomin be doing. School-wise, I got some internships for this summer. Mm-hmm. I'm looking into Universal Music. That's in New York. And video-wise, yeah, just recording behind the process of, like, you know, my music journey and just continue talking to people. Definitely getting to film music is, like, the music that you hear in different, like, shows and movies. I think Metro did it with the Spider-Man movie, so like that's kind of something I would actually want to do too. So
cool.
With me, I'm trying to think as far as like short term and stuff. Like I said, I kind of got like a new wave of music coming out, kind of entering like just a new chapter. It's not gonna sound like anything I've done so far, so I'm kind of excited about that, but it's its own entity. And just kind of putting that out over the course of the year is just my main focus and whatnot. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
For sure.
Everything I'm doing now, but bigger.
For sure.
Yeah.
Got you. Other than that,
Without the school part. I can't wait to graduate. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Spring? Next semester? Or fall?
Spring.
I bet.
Spring. Got you. And then other than that, just plug the socials and we're good.
Most definitely. My IG, KANG.242. Spotify is just Kang, my name. Apple Music, everywhere you stream music is just Kang, KANG. TikTok, I think it's my middle name, Kang Doom. Yeah, you can find all that there. And also, room242.fm. That's where we post about the group stuff. That's where we post about solo stuff sometimes. That's where we post about the events. We got a lot of crazy events coming this summer. So, you know,
stay tuned.
Y'all stay tuned for that. Yeah.
For me, Shawn Michael, so SEANMICHAEL.242 on Instagram. Shawn-Michael on all streaming platforms. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, for me, J Keys on Instagram, JKEYS. TikTok is 1JKeys, the number 1. and YouTube as J Keys Live. See me streaming on there this summer.
Okay, got you. Yeah. And other than that, appreciate y'all for joining me. I'm gonna be looking forward to listening to Wanda tomorrow. And yeah, just follow the Instagram, the TikTok, Your Choice Pod. I'm not gonna spell it. If you don't know the, you're done.
You probably shouldn't be listening.
Yeah, yeah, for example. But yeah, other than that, yeah, we can cut it. That's calm.
Appreciate that.
Most definitely.
Now, the friend of that texted me, he said he wanted to do 7 instead, so I was joking.
You can't just sit down.
You can't keep going, bro. You can keep going.
Like, 7 is 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.